Good to have you back in the sound room. Welcome. It's good to have you here this morning. As Gary Bob said, we're going to do the blessing of the bikes. Would all you bikers stand? Those of you who rode bikes this morning. Bicycles? Yes. Stand. Okay. Are you all going to be able to stay for the meal? Can we do the blessing after the meal, or do we? Or some of you have to leave? After is fine. Okay. That's right. Let's give the bikers a hand. Thank you. Right over here, Gordon and Deborah Pearson from Brimley, they came down, and they have stickers. So, somebody called me this week, I'm not sure who it was, and said, can we do bicycles? And I said, bring them. But I don't see very many bicycles out there. But if you have a bicycle at home and you would like a blessing sticker, you see Gordon and Deborah Pearson, and they'll give you one for your bicycle, okay? And you stick around for the blessing of the bikes, and we're going to do that. Well, you saw Gary Bob up here. He had I could tell he had a little bit of a brain freeze, you know, because I know what it is. When you get up there past 50, you see things, and you see kids, and you hear things, and it's like it's an instant replay of 40, 50 years ago. Like these two little guys over here that Grace brought. Now, those of you who've been here around for very long, if you look over there, you'll have a brain freeze because they both look like their dad, Mike, who was about their age about 40, 45 years ago. And it looks like a reincarnation. Of course, we don't preach that. But anyway. It's good to have you here this morning. This is always a special Sunday. We love to do it. Blessing of the bikes. And God knows they need it. Especially with us car drivers on the road. Not watching for bikes very closely. So, Gary Bob had led us in prayer concerning the Kowalski family. And when Barb called this morning and told me that her dad died, Mary and I have known Loretta, like Gary Bob and Terry, for as long as we can hardly remember. So I called Loretta and told her we would be praying for her and that we loved her and her family. And it was interesting to us as that whole family moved to Harbor Springs. Some of you have Catholic background, and we had the youth group at the time, and those kids were, even though they were Catholic and Mom and Dad were very committed Catholic, went to Catholic church every Sunday, the kids were in our youth group, as were I don't know how many other Catholic kids, and so many of them came to Christ in the youth group, and Dick and Loretta always appreciated that and had no problem with us not being Catholic. And Mary and Loretta are still very close, and they appreciate your prayers and they appreciate our prayers. Had the privilege of going out a week or so ago and visiting with Dick, and his testimony about who Jesus was to him and the life to come was just tremendously encouraging to me to just listen to him. He knew what was coming, and he had no fear at all. And I shared with him what I shared with you, I think, a couple, 3 weeks ago, that my little grandson, Warner, we were talking down in the garden while he was helping me plant, and he said something about, Grandpa, you're getting old, after his mother talked to him. He denied that, but that's what he said. Grandpa, you're getting old. are you going to die? I said, yeah. How does that happen? Does Jesus just come down and get us and take us up to be with him? Well, I guess that's what he does. And he said, can I go along? I don't want to be here if you're not here. Yeah, you'll need to stick around with your mom for a while. So we look at death, and, you know, to us, life is everything. You know it's not, right? You know this life is not everything. As a matter of fact, it's just a very little piece of everything. It matters greatly, this life does. But if your perspective is that this life is everything, I'm glad you're here this morning, because we all need to get a grasp on God's concept of life, and it's very different. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about God the Creator, God the Redeemer. And two or three weeks ago, we were talking about man and how man, he's a remodeler, he's a rebuilder, he's a refurbisher. That's a man thing. But Redeemer is a God thing. And y'all have had experience on this business of refurbishing, right? Y'all know all about refurbishing because we try to do it all the time. As a matter of fact, somebody said to me this morning, whatever oil you use on your face really works good because your face doesn't get older, but the rest of you does. Well, I have this oil I want to recommend to you. I'm not sure what that is exactly, but we all want to, we want to remodel, don't we? We want to look younger. We want to our house to look better. We don't want our car to have rust, so we're going to refurbish it. And when the motor goes bad, we rebuild it. We're the generation of re, okay? God's not into re, because where we would look at an engine and say this thing is knocking and it needs to be, you know, overhauled, we'd take the time to rebuild it and overhaul it. And God would look at it and just create a new one. That's the difference. He's the creator. There's nothing wrong with rebuilding and refurbishing, but we need to understand that that's a man thing. That's not who God is. That's not how God operates. Right from the beginning, he created what is from nothing. We can't do that. If there's a house, we got to rebuild it, but the house got to be there. If there's an engine, we can rebuild it, maybe, but it's got to be there. You know, we can't create it. We don't have the power to do that. In light of all of that, we see in Romans 5:8 another, this is where we ended last week, that God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want to reiterate the importance of this passage of Scripture. A demonstration of God's love is this: that while you were still out sinning, Jesus died on the cross for you. He didn't wait for you to ask for forgiveness. It was already there before you ever asked, because that's who God is. God is forgiveness. God is the Redeemer. That's who he is. It's so important for us to understand that if we're going to be followers of Christ, we need to demonstrate the lifestyle that Jesus did. And there's going to be millions of people who have never asked Jesus to come into their hearts. Jesus still died for them. Okay? Whether they ask him to come in or not, salvation is still available to them because of God's love. That means, to me, that means before someone sins against me, I need to have forgiveness available to them. That's a hard one. Because some of you have been hurt very, very deeply and repeatedly. And all of us need to examine ourselves and say, is my forgiveness like God's? Do I demonstrate the same kind of forgiveness that God does? There are people who are very difficult personally for me to see and to hug because of the damage and the hurt that they've caused. But you know what? I do it anyway. I do it anyway. And you know what? It feels good because, you know why it feels good? Because it's the right thing to do, because it's a God thing. Because he forgave me and my sin before I ever asked. And I need to forgive other people their sin before they ever ask. Why is that? Why did God do that? Because he is forgiveness. That's who he is. He is redemption. He is creation. He is light. In him there is no darkness at all. He is the light of the world. And I could go on and on in terms of who he is. That's just who he is. As I stand up here, I look at some of you, and some of you got black hair, and some of you got white hair, and some of you got red hair, and some of you have no hair. But because I know who you are, that's who you are. You can't really help who you are. You can change the color of your hair if you want, but you're still who you are, right? God is who he is. His character doesn't change. He has no beginning and he has no end. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He will never change. Okay? We need to get that in our head and in our hearts. This is who God is. And if we claim to be his followers, then we need to demonstrate the same qualities that he does. If you look at these two little horn boys, you're going to see something in them. I already saw it outside. They're very much like their dad when they were same age. All over everything. Running, jumping, they got more energy. You know? That's who they are. Of course, that's who a lot of kids are that age. But this passage, let's go to the Ephesians one. Yeah, that one. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you were saved. God raised you up with Christ and seated you with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. See, all you had to do was be born. All you had to do was invite Jesus in. When you did that, he began a work in you, and you should have begun to take on his characteristics, just like these little horn boys took on characteristics of their dad. I can look at them, and I can, even without knowing it, I know who they are. I can look at old Thomas Andrews. I knew his dad very well, and I can tell you who he is just by looking at him. And I can tell you that he's got a lot of the characteristics that his dad had and some of the characteristics his mom had. You see what I mean? When we look at each other physically, we can see characteristics that they've inherited from mom and dad. When God looks at us, he should be able to see characteristics of himself in us. How's that feel to you? How you doing on that? Three things here that we see in this passage in Ephesians 2. And this is what God's love does for us. It makes us alive in Christ. Raised us up. I think he's talking about the body from the grave in this passage. Some would argue with that. But he raised us up. And whether he means after we die and we go to heaven, or it means that when we accept him, he raises up a new person in us. Maybe that's what it means. Thirdly, seated us next to Christ. That's a powerful thing. That's what God does in us. He goes on then in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. And of course, when you read this, you think of the Reformation. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourself, it is gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Understand this. Verse 8. Understand who God is. He is full of grace. He is full of mercy. That's who he is. Verse 9, it tells us who man is. Not of good works, so that any man could boast. God knew our character. You know, the old religion says, got to clean myself up to be acceptable to God. Got to rebuild myself. Got to refurbish myself. That's religion. That's what religion does. Christianity says, nothing that I can ever do on my own will ever be good enough for me to gain Christ, because it's a free gift. That's what Martin Luther said, 1600. He read the Bible. He said, we can't be selling these indulgences anymore to people so they will try to be good enough to be acceptable to God. That's wrong. Scripture clearly teaches that salvation is a free gift from Almighty God. The Reformation was born. As we look at this passage and many others, we can see, again, part of God's character. Lastly, in verses in verse 10, he says, he's prepared a plan for you to work. He don't want your good works. He wants you to do his good work. How many of you have ever asked the question to yourself, what's God's plan for me to do works, good works, for him? You ever ask that? It might be a good idea, because he says right here that he has created a good plan for you, and it was prepared in advance for you to do. What is it? What's his plan for you? Be a good idea to ask, maybe. When my grandson gets up in the morning, I'll say, "You ready for breakfast?" He'll say, "Not yet, Grandpa. What are we doing today?" He loves to help. He loves to work for a while. I can remember when we were building this building, and if you look at the floor, there's heat ducts all around the perimeter. We had the walls standing up, and Everett Shepherd was here, and Everett says, "You know, I don't know much about," and I don't know how old Everett was. He must, he was an old man. He says, "I don't know much about carpenter work," but he said, "I've been a farmer all my life, and I know how to dig ditches." He said, "You let me dig these ditches, put in all these heat ducts. I can do that. I can dig ditches." And you know what? He did. There's a ditch all the way around the perimeter of this thing, about this deep, about this wide, filled with insulation, and a pipe about this big around. And then there's what they call balance pipes that came from there in the middle. So all the way around, and then two angles. Remember that, Dick? He dug that thing. And, you know, it took him forever, but he wanted to do it. That was a good work. That was a good work. When you get out of bed in the morning, you say to yourself, "God, what good work do you have for me to do today?" We should. It says he's prepared a plan here. You know? You wonder why Jesus looked at the little kids and he loved them. Some of his disciples were saying, "Nah, keep these little kids away from Jesus." What did Jesus say? He said, "Let these little kids come unto me, for such as they belong the kingdom." Boy, that's special. A little kid's faith, you know, in his mom and dad is tremendous. That's the kind of faith that God wants us, the kind of dependence. Think about how dependent a baby is on mom and dad, particularly mom. And God wants our relationship to be that intimate with him. So then, how do we live? In Ephesians 2:10, again, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do." Okay, then how do we live? If that's the case, how do we live? The book of Ephesians is rich in this. 2:18, "For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens of God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone." I want you to really get a hold of this morning. We have emphasized, Billy Graham has emphasized, many campus life, Youth for Christ, emphasize the importance of accepting Christ, asking Christ to come into our lives. I hope you've done that this morning already. If you haven't, this is your opportunity. You can do that right now. It's very simple. You say, "Jesus, I know you died on the cross for me. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior." That's the first step. Because, remember, Forgiveness is already there. All you have to do is receive it. That's all you have to do is receive it. So when you're on your deathbed and somebody says, well, are you going to go to heaven or to hell? If you say, I don't know, don't blame me. Because if you were sitting here this morning, you heard the invitation. You had the opportunity to invite Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. That's asking Him to come into us. It's also important to understand what happens when the Holy Spirit comes into you. And we don't have time even to go into all of that, but a lot of things happen when Jesus comes into your heart. That's the Holy Spirit coming into your heart. You know what He does? He gives you a gift. He gives you a gift that's unlike any other gift that He's given any other member of His family. You have that special gift, whatever it is. Whether you know it or not, that's what He does to you. Many other things happen, but another thing that happens immediately when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord, the Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 12:13, and you need to have that underlined in your Bible, because this is what it says: for by one Spirit are you all baptized into the body of Christ. So when we accept Christ, we not only accept Him into our life, He places us by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we've already looked at that, in the body of Christ. He makes us a citizen. There's no foreigners here, okay? Jason, we had the privilege of loaning our car to a couple from Ukraine, and Jason brought them out this week, Wiser, for us to meet. We were so surprised because they were so young. But they couldn't talk English. Thank God for a wife who knows Ukrainian and English very well. So we're talking and we're praying and she's interpreting very well. We would look at them and say they're foreigners. They're not from the United States. If you're in Christ, there are no foreigners. You're in His nation. That's why we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So not only do you accept Jesus into your heart, and the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, that same Holy Spirit takes you from the kingdom of this world to the kingdom of God. And He places you there, and you are sealed in that kingdom for eternity. Puts His stamp on you. He's mine. He's mine. That's who you are. So important that we understand who God is, how different He looks at life. You know, we look at life so often as being everything. God tells us it's a vapor. You know, it's a flash in the pan. It's here today, gone tomorrow. It's like the grass. And we say, oh, I got to hang on to this life. You know, and I think we should do what we can do to be healthy and to be strong in this life. But folks, it's not everything. Don't ever think it's everything. The last verse I want to share with you again is, and I want to stress this, how important it is for us to not only accept Christ as our personal Savior, but to understand what He does in our lives. And it's not up to us. Okay? It's not up to us. It's a fact. That's what he does. In this passage in Ephesians 2, in him, the whole building is joined together and raises to become holy temple in the Lord. And in him, okay, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Notice what it says. In him. So not only is he in you, you are in him. So important to understand that. As we struggle with humanity, we struggle with the characteristics that we have as humans. Because don't you know that human characteristics are almost always at odds with God's characteristics? God's amazing. He's amazing. When you think as creator, interesting, isn't it, that there was light. Read Genesis 1 again. There was light, but there was no sun yet in creation. Where did light come from? God is light. God is love. God is redemption. God is grace. God is mercy. All those attributes. You know, it's like standing, if you're standing next to a campfire that's burning, what are you feeling? What are you seeing? Well, you're seeing light, right? And you're feeling heat. Now, this takes a lot of intelligence, but I want to tell you, if there's a campfire right there, you can look at it. And if you move close enough to it, what's going to happen? It's going to light you up, right? Why? Because that campfire is hot. God is light. He is heat. The closer you get to God, the more light you see. That's the way it is. It's so important that we stop thinking about what I can accomplish today, what's really important to me. When do we wake up and say, God, what do you want me to accomplish today? What's important to you? Because I heard your scripture and I read it myself from Ephesians, and it says you have a plan for my life prepared a long time ago. How am I doing in fulfilling your plan? What are we going to do today? What are we going to do today to fulfill that plan? That's quite a challenge to us, isn't it? God bless you. I'm going to say a prayer and bless the food. I think Tommy and his crew are over there cooking already. We're going to go right through that door. We'll have Dick and Donna lead the way. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we give you praise for an opportunity to live. And that is also a gift from you. Our whole lives, babies born, are a gift from you. So God, we thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you for redeeming us. We thank you that you're the creator. We thank you that you love us and you sent Jesus to die on the cross for us before we ever ask to be forgiven. So we give you praise this morning. And God, we thank you for your great love. And we thank you that you have a plan for each of our lives. Help us to seek you out, to draw close to you, to find that plan. Lord, thank you that we have the opportunity as the body of Christ here to fellowship together and enjoy this meal. Thank you for the hands that have prepared it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you.